And they can also start to learn on real-world data, so they actually have some avenue where they're even improving on the numerical weather forecasts, which is exciting. So if before we talked about there's reality, nature, the real complicated thing, the cow, because we're in Wisconsin, and then the physics approach or the kind of traditional approaches that also a lot of statisticians would use with to simplify it to some very mathematically tractable model. What we're seeing with AI and machine learning now are something like the thing on the right. You know, it's like it's a more high fidelity version of the cow. It's still an approximation, but it captures a lot of features that are you know, looks more like a cow, but it's still fast and it still allows you to work with it in a way to where you can do all sorts of things that you would have not been able to do before. So for example, people are modeling, if you're interested in fusion reactors and clean energy, you have this very high temperature plasma, excuse me, that you're trying to control with magnets and electric currents and stuff like that. And that's the bottleneck to being able to get fusion to work, basically, is how hot can you make that plasma and how long can you confine it so that you can extract energy from it. And you use traditional engineering approaches to controlling that system, and you get so far. And now they're using AI models that have been trained in simulation of what the system would look like, and then they get much more accurate control, and then they deploy it in the real world. And then they can actually control these so-called tokamaks, which is like looks like a big donut, but it's like one of the leading technologies for fusion. And so they're making great progress there. So that's exciting. So that's one example. And so I make this kind of point that was in the abstract of the talk, that AI is like quickly raising the ambitions of scientists kind of across the board, but the way it's influencing them, the capabilities that AI enables varies a lot across different fields or subfields or what kind of thing you're trying to do. So this example I gave is one example, but it looks very different in other fields. So I'm going to give some names to them. So this is the one that I just described with the kind of fusion example, is that you have a simulation that you believe in, that you think, you know, like numerical weather or something like that, but it's too slow to work with. And then you train an AI model to be a very fast approximation of it. Some people call it a surrogate or something like that. And then you can use that thing in your, you know, to make decisions or to control your engineering system or something like that. So I gave it this little figure down here, using AI for decisions, control, and design. So that's one pattern that we see about how AI is, you know, influencing science and engineering. But there are other examples. So let's talk about molecules and materials briefly. So here's an example. These are the proteins related to the COVID virus, and you know, sitting on you know, on like a cell wall. I think this is a lipid layer of a cell, and they're all jiggling around. And it's a really fun to watch video. And you can do these kinds of simulations of what's going to happen with all these atoms moving around because it's just chemistry. But it requires like a supercomputer, you know, I don't know, a year or something to be able to make that little video. And if you want, if it takes a long time for this protein to like do the important biologically relevant thing, it might not be feasible. And so what's happening now is that we're figuring out how to use generative AI techniques so that instead of making images of people's faces or audio, it's basically making the videos of these kinds of things that are grounded in the, you know, the laws of chemistry. And you kind of pair them together in a way so that you can maintain kind of a correctness that you know that the calculation is doing what you want. And when you put those two together, you get like, you make things go faster by, you know, orders of magnitude, 10,000 times, 100,000 times faster. So there's all sorts of things that you can do now that you were previously not tractable. And so some people are calling this new capability a computational microscope, because it's sort of like you're looking at this microscopic thing that you couldn't actually do with a real microscope, but you know, you can simulate it in a computer, and AI is accelerating those simulations dramatically.